You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up tomorrow at 6 on The Morning Show, P is for pterodactyl. Meet the author of the worst alphabet book ever. That's their words, not mine. That's tomorrow morning at 6:15 here on the Ideas Network. Now, the National Retail Federation says consumers will spend an average of $1,000 during the upcoming holiday season. That's up from nearly $970 last year. Most of that we're talking about will be on gifts. And our guest says a lot of that spending is often wasteful, draining our cash reserves and leaving us worse off by the time New Year's rolls around. She's here with some advice on how to keep our pocketbooks in good financial shape, and she'll share some money moves to consider making and avoiding in the final weeks of 2018. Holly Johnson is a freelance writer who focuses on personal finance and travel. She's the author of Zero Down Your Debt, Reclaim Your Income, and Build a Life You'll Love. Her website is clubthrifty.com. Holly, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, why do you say a lot of our holiday spending is kind of wasted spending?
It's not always wasted spending, but I think we can admit that a lot of us want to make a special holiday season for our families and maybe spend money that we can't afford.
Right. What leads us down the path to overspending, say, especially when it comes to gifts?
Well, I think that sales, like Black Friday, can lead us to buy things that we don't really need or didn't plan for. Trying to impress people. There are always those, you know, holiday gift exchanges in the office, or maybe your family plans a couple every year. I think it's a lot of things. I think it's more than one thing that leads us to spend more than we plan and then to regret it after the new year.
Yeah, you've written about the holiday gift exchanges. What are some changes we can make to our gift exchange programs that make sure we're not all spending too much money in them and that people are getting, you know, something decent out of it?
Well, when it comes to gift exchanges, I kind of take a hard line against them because I think so many people plan them without thinking about how it affects other people's finances, like people in their family. I know when my husband and I first got married, we had a point where across both of our families, we were in, you know, five or six different gift exchanges where everybody brought a $10 gift. But the thing is, we didn't have any money. So our whole Christmas budget was like $200, and we were spending 60 of it on $10 anonymous gifts for a gift exchange. And I know one point early in our marriage, I told all our family that I wouldn't do gift exchanges anymore, and that ended that. And, you know, sometimes people don't like that, but you really do have to do what's best for you and your family. You can't have other people dictating how you spend your money. So sometimes you have to decide that it's not a good time for you and it's not a good time for your budget.
Well, and also it's part of the meaning of the gift giving, too. How many people look back 8 years later and cherish that $10 anonymous gift exchange gift
they
got?
Exactly. I know one year we got jumper cables. That was one of the gifts
practical.
We got. It's like, what does this even mean? So I think, you know, if you can eliminate that kind of wasteful Christmas spending, you can have more money for meaningful gifts that really matter to people.
So how can we plan, and maybe we're a little bit late on this because we've already been through Black Friday and Cyber Monday, but how can we come up with a rational plan to ration our holiday spending in a smart but still meaningful way?
I think it really helps to have a list of gifts that you're going to buy for the year, to write out everybody that you're going to buy for and have a cap on how much you're going to spend on them. I think that's smart because then you can eliminate some people for starters because, you know, your Aunt Sharon that you haven't seen for 5 years, maybe she's not going to make the cut this year because money's tight or whatever. I think if you don't do that, you end up buying for one uncle and then you realize, oh, I got to buy for the other ones or I might hurt their feelings. Or you might end up spending more on someone than you realize and then having to spend more on another person in a similar place in your family to make up for that. So I think it helps to have a plan and to stick with it. Obviously, it's a little late in the season for that this year when it comes to Black Friday, but it's still not too late to sit down and take stock of the gifts you bought, how much you spent, and put some caps on how much you're going to spend on other people.
Talking to Holly Johnson, a personal finance writer, author of the book Zero Down Your Debt. We're talking about some year-end money advice, some related to the holidays and some ways to take a look at the big picture of our money. We'll get into that in just a bit. First, Holly, a related note to the holiday shopping, whether for gifts or other stuff. A lot of times you're at the store and, hey, yay, you can save an extra 5 or 10% by getting that new store credit card. how should we consider the impact of having lots of different credit cards on our credit rating? What ends up happening there?
Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with having credit cards, but are you going to pay off your balance when the bill comes in the mail? I think that's the biggest question. The average credit card APR is over 17% right now. Store cards can be even higher. So if you're going to carry a balance on the credit card to buy that gift, but then you're going to spend 6 months to pay it off, whatever discount you're getting up front might be more than made up for in the interest you're paying. So I would probably not take out credit cards to buy holiday gifts. I think it's generally a bad idea.
And then for your more normal credit cards, I've heard some people think, oh, if I have, you know, instead of just one credit card, if I have 2, 3, 4 credit cards, that looks good on my credit report. Myth, facts, a little bit in between?
Well, the number one factor that determines your FICO score is your payment history. So whether you have one credit card or 10 credit cards, how are you paying your bill? If you're paying it early or on time, then you're going to do great in that category. The second most important factor that makes up your FICO score is the amount of money you owe. So if you have really low balances or you're debt-free, your credit's going to be fine as well. So the number of credit cards you have doesn't play a huge role in your credit score. I've had, you know, up to a lot of credit cards at a time because I write about credit cards in the scope of travel. And my credit score has been over 800 for the last 7 or 8 years. I don't think it matters how many cards you have. It's how you treat your credit.
And then let's take this to the wider issue now. You've written a piece actually about year-end sort of money management, money moves to make. And step one, you say, is to use this time at the end of the year to kind of do a little diagnosis, an analysis of our money situation. What kind of things should we be looking at?
I would figure out, it might be a difficult time to do it right now, but I would figure out how much debt you have and in 2019 create a real plan to pay it off. Because debt is such a drag on our personal finances. It's a drag on everything we do. The money we pay towards interest and the money we pay in those monthly payments kills us, and really it kills our dreams because then we don't have the money to afford the things that we want to do. So that's one of the biggest things I would do is take stock of the debt I have, quit making monthly payments or the minimum payment and not really worrying about it. Make 2019 the year where you sit down and create a plan to pay it off.
That plan sounds like the key word because it's easy on New Year's Day to say, okay, I'm going to resolve to bring down my debt this year. But how can we, operationalize that? How can we come up with a plan to start at least chipping away at that debt?
Well, it's not hard. It's a matter of figuring out how much you owe and how much you can afford to pay each month. It's the figuring out how much you can afford to pay each month people have a problem with because a lot of people have no idea where their money goes every month. I mean, how many people do you know who go to work all week, get their paycheck, spend it, and almost have no idea where they spent their money? So in my personal opinion, I think it's beneficial for everybody to have a monthly budget that they use that outlines their regular bills and then estimated spending amounts on everything that they spend on. And having a monthly budget where you're keeping track of what you're spending can help you eliminate all the crazy last-minute miscellaneous things that you've been buying that you may not even realize. And once you have a monthly budget, you can also figure out, hey, I have an extra $500 this month. I'm going to pay that towards my debt up front instead of waiting till the end of the month to just see if I have anything left. I mean, it's really about being intentional.
For people who have never tried that before, never done that monthly budget, give us some 101. What are basic ways that, you know, on paper or an app or a computer program, whatever, that people can get started making that budget a reality?
Well, the very first thing you need to do is track your spending from the last couple months. And thanks to, you know, the fact most people use like debit cards or whatever instead of cash, that's pretty easy. Get out your bank statements and your credit card statements and tally up everything that you've spent and put them in categories that make sense for you. For example, groceries, dining out, utilities, entertainment, transportation, clothes. Figure out how much you're spending on all of those things. I think people are really shocked when they figure out that, you know, maybe they have two $400 car payments and they don't realize that they bring home $400 or $4,000 a month and those car payments are taking up $800 of that, almost 25% of their take-home pay. I hear that all the time. Or maybe you eat out a little bit and you try to eat out affordably, but you don't realize you're spending $800 on restaurants every month. And that's, you know, 25% of your take-home pay. I think you have to be real with yourself, and being real with yourself involves sitting down and seeing where your money is going, and only you can do that.
We're talking about how to save and spend wisely over the holidays and evaluate our money at year end with Holly Johnson. She is a personal finance writer, author of the book Zero Down Your Debt, Reclaim Your Income, and Build a Life You'll Love. We're talking about some money moves she says we should make in these last few weeks of the year and some we should avoid. We'll hear some more of those coming up. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have trouble keeping your holiday spending in check? What are some things you've done to keep your expenditures down? And what kind of things do you do at the end of the year, kind of a financial tune-up? And what kind of financial advice do you have for other listeners, maybe people just entering into the world of careers and debt? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about year-end money moves and enjoying the holidays without breaking the bank. Holly Johnson is our guest. She's a writer who focuses on personal finance and travel. She's the author of Zero Down Your Debt. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have advice, suggestions on how you keep holiday spending from getting out of hand? Any tips or tricks you use to keep that those costs down? Do you have questions about, you know, what to do for a year-end checkup, about how to set up a budget, or have you set up a budget yourself? How'd you do it? Did it make a difference for you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Holly, before we go to our callers, you have shared online some of your year-end advice. One of them, one piece of advice is at your employer, see if you have a 401k plan and make sure you are enrolled in it. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's pretty clear based on recent studies that a lot of people aren't going to have the money they need for retirement. And I think it's really easy to pass the buck every year and just think, oh, I'm going to deal with it next year, the next year. But from experience, I know that like your 30s creep up on you, and then your 40s creep up on you, and then your 50s creep up on you. And if you don't do something about it, you're not going to have the money to retire ever. Maybe you'll have to work until you die. So if you work for someone else that offers a retirement account, the end of the year or really any time is a great time to go see your human resources manager and get signed up for your company 401k plan. And you might be able even to get a company match, free money for doing so.
Let's go to our callers now. Kate is with us in Sun Prairie. Kate, hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. So what my husband and I do around the holidays is that we first of all see whether or not there's going to be any sort of holiday bonus at the end of the year that we can allocate towards gifts. But what we kind of do is set a budget each year, and then we look at all the people that we need to buy gifts for and kind of think of all the things that they have told us that they kind of hinted at might want. And so some year, you know, mom might get a bigger gift, and some year dad might get a bigger gift, but we make sure that we kind of stay within that specific range that we set each year and don't go above that. And if we do, we decide to take from the gifts that my husband and I intended to buy for ourselves.
Kate, thanks a lot for calling and sharing that. That's that kind of planning you were talking about, holiday, as opposed to, okay, here's our list of people we need gifts for. Let's hit the stores or the internet and figure out what we're going to get them.
Yeah, sounds very reasonable to me.
Mm-hmm. Kate, thanks a lot for sharing that story. Barbara is with us now in Appleton. Barbara, hi.
Hi. What I've done is I opened up a separate checking account that I put money in every month. And then at the end of the year, I have all the money I need or that I'm going to spend to buy gifts and such.
Oh,
and also my husband and I never exchange gifts. We just, you know, look around and say, hey, do we need anything? You know, and we buy it and say, here, happy Christmas.
I love it, Barbara. Thanks a lot for sharing that. And Holly, that idea of, you know, it's not that hard within a bank or credit union often to say, okay, I would like, you know, a separate checking account or something like that. Whether we're talking about gifts or that home improvement, what do you think of that as a strategy for saving for a specific purpose?
I think that's so smart, especially now that it's the end of the year. It's the perfect time to start saving for next year's Christmas, whether that's, you know, $50 a month or $100 a month. And there are some savings accounts that will reward you, like, for that. I know that CIT Bank offers, like, 2.25% APY if you deposit at least $100 a month. So that would be a great savings account you can open online to start saving for next year's Christmas gifts.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Our next caller is Jelaine in West Allis. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, what do you
do? I just wanted to say that once a year, maybe twice a year, depending on my budget or how things go, I usually evaluate my savings, and I'll take whatever's left, like February, March, and I will cut it in half and put half of it into a CD.
Okay, and then you get that little interest payout. I got to ask, Jelaine, do you have a lot of credit card debt or anything like that, or are you mostly debt-free so you can save some of that?
I am completely debt-free except for my mortgage.
All right, Jelaine, thanks so much for sharing that. And Holly, sometimes I've heard from people in the past, like, okay, I've got some money. Should I put it into savings and get a little interest and have it, you know, on standby or pay down that debt? How do we weigh those alternatives?
I think it's such a good idea to put it in a high-interest savings account or a CD. Your listeners are very smart.
They are. Now, nowadays, high interest means something that different than maybe it did, I don't know, 15 years ago. There's not super high-paying CDs out there right now, right?
I know. There's not. And even, like, the highest online savings accounts pay, like I said, the CIT Bank Savings Builder is 2.25, or you might be able to get a little bit more than that with Ally Bank or something like that, but it's not really high. Better than nothing, though.
Thanks a lot for that call. We're talking to personal finance writer Holly Johnson, author of the book Zero Down Your Debt. She's offering some year-end advice on money, whether we're talking about spending gifts for the holidays or kind of making our plan for the new year. You can join in with your suggestions or questions at 800-642-1234. Before we go back to our callers, Holly, you say this is a good time to review our flexible spending accounts, see if we can get into those, and our health savings accounts, talking about what we should be looking at there.
Well, particularly with health savings accounts, with healthcare costs the way they are, it's really important to save for healthcare expenses. And health savings accounts let you save money in a tax-deductible way, and then your money grows tax-free, and then you can use it for qualified healthcare expenses. And in 2019, families can contribute up to $7,000 to a health savings account, and individuals can contribute up to $3,500, and then you can let that money grow and use it for healthcare expenses if you have a high-deductible health plan. So that's a plan that I have for my family, and I think it's a really good idea if you have a health plan that qualifies.
Yeah, so it sounds like it's a good time of year to sit down if you're at a place of employment with an HR person or a benefits person to sit down with them, make that appointment, and consider the options, whether we're talking about 401ks or flexible spending or whatever.
Exactly. And same thing if you have a flexible spending account that you have to use it or lose it. You know, the end of the year is a great time to see what you need to buy.
And now we just came off of Giving Tuesday yesterday, and another tip you have is this is the time to make sure we get our charitable gifts out there. Why is that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's important to give to charity if that's something that you feel passionate about. The end of the year is a great time to maximize charitable giving. Obviously, I'm not an accountant, but there are tax benefits that you can get for maximizing charitable giving. So I would definitely sit down with them and figure out what you need to do. And then also, as you plan your 2019 budget, it's a good time to figure out how much you want to save to give to charities.
Let's go back to our callers now. Felicia is with us in Pewaukee. Felicia, hi there.
Hi. So what I normally do, and I don't know what anybody else would, but anytime I use my debit card or if I have to put gas in or I go to groceries, I always get cash back, and I always do the max is $20. So at the end of the day, if I go to a grocery store or whatever, I get like $80. I put it in a jar, I tuck it away, and at the end of the week, I have like maybe $800. And then every week, it just keeps building up. And that's great for vacations, Christmas, and like even paying off a lot of like health bills.
Wow. So you've got the jar. You put it in the bank at some point?
I should.
Okay.
But I don't trust the bank as much.
All right, Felicia, thanks a lot for sharing that. I'm glad that's working out for you. Maybe the jar or under the mattress method. I don't know, Holly, is it a good plan?
I think it's better than not saving, for sure. I mean, if that's what it takes you to stay motivated, to save money, and you're using that money in a way that helps you, then why not? I definitely think a bank account is safer and you can earn interest, but...
All right, Felicia, thanks a lot for sharing your story. Holly, in our last couple minutes, I want to pull back a big picture. I think some people, and we've heard this from people in the past, some people are overwhelmed. They don't know how to start. They feel like everything's out of their control. Give a little pep talk maybe for people in that situation to take that first step maybe with that budget you were talking about.
Well, I hate to rehash it, but a monthly budget and spending plan is so important. I think people think of it as something that is restrictive, that is going to prevent you from getting the things that you want in life. But if you can get your spending and debt under control, you can actually have the things that you want in life, whether that's, you know, having less stress, having the money to go on a family vacation this year, having the money to buy something new for your home or remodel your kitchen or something. Having a budget and spending plan that you use every month can help you have the life you want, even if it means not getting exactly what you want all the time. A lot of times a budget can help you prevent spending that doesn't matter to you, like wasteful spending on things that aren't really important that you just don't really realize that you're doing. So I guess my pep talk for the new year is think about how you want your life to be, because the life that you want may be within reach with the money that you earn if you could just use your money more wisely than you're using it now.
It's a good place to leave it. Holly, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Holly Johnson is a freelance writer who focuses on personal finance and travel. She's the author of the book Zero Down Your Debt, Reclaim Your Income, and Build a Life You'll Love. Her website, you can see more of her advice, by the way, for the end of the year, is at clubthrifty.com.